Lord, we thank you because as always we know the entrance of your word brings light. We ask that light will shine in our hearts today and give understanding, give revelation knowledge, and show us what you will have us know. In Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. When others say no, Jesus says yes. Amen. That's right. You know, others may say no, but I want you to know that Jesus is saying yes to you. Amen. So I'm going to read a story and then just share a few scriptures with us. And I want you to take it in. Engage the Lord in the Spirit. You know, that's how you're going to be blessed, when you engage the Lord in the Spirit. This story is from Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 46 and to about 52. Mark chapter 10. Verse 46 to about 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out, this was Jesus, out of Jericho, his disciples, and a great number of people, including this man called blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, he sat by the wayside begging. Verse 47. We're going to 52, so just go through it quickly. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Well, many people told him, be quiet. But he cried out the great deal more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, and Jesus said unto him, be of good comfort. You know, that's what they said unto him. People said unto him, be of good comfort. He's calling you. And he followed them. Next verse. 50, please. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, for thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately, I love that word, immediately he received his sight. And he followed Jesus in the way. And someone said, praise the Lord. Well, in this story, which I'm sure is familiar to several people, we see that this man, initially, everybody told him, be quiet. And what he wanted mercy from Jesus. But the crowd was trying to shut him up. You know, so there may be a lot of elements that are fighting against you when you're trying to get something from God. You know. But what is going to be your response? This man's response was he was not going to be denied. And he, you know, he shouted out, cried out even the more. When people told him, no, be quiet. And he cried out even the more. The more they tried to stop him, the more he cried out. You know, but we see a lesson here also that, you know, when you cry out for God's mercy, you know, that's the lesson we see here, apart from many other things which we'll bring out in a minute. One lesson we see here is that when this man cried out for God's mercy, what did Jesus do? He stopped still. The Bible says Jesus stopped still. I mean, it's like that thing just stopped the Lord right there when he heard the cry for mercy. Hallelujah. I tell you what, when everything else fails you, reach out to his mercy. Amen. You know, call on God's mercy. Because that is something, that's a cry for mercy is something that the Lord can never turn away from. In fact, when the man cried out for God's mercy, cried out, have mercy on me, you know, and everyone was saying, be quiet. They were probably even telling Jesus, don't mind him, just keep on going. But Jesus, he saw still. Because he heard something. He heard a cry for mercy. Hallelujah. And there was a cry for mercy that Jesus stopped. And Jesus and everybody else tried to stop this man. You know, Jesus said, come on. You know, Jesus said yes to him. Now there's a popular verse here in Revelation 3 and 7 that says, you know, this is what the Lord himself said. He said, I am he that openeth and no man can shut. I am he also that shuts and no man openeth. Well, he said he had the key of it. Well, when he opens, nobody can shut. When Jesus says yes, nobody, well, people can try to say no, but their no is going to be of none effect. Amen. But when Jesus already said yes, any other response is irrelevant. And, you know, what we need is to hear Jesus say yes. When God has called you blessed, no one can say you are cursed. Amen. There was a story in Numbers 23, and you all know the story. The story of Balaam and Balak and all of that. From about Numbers 23 to about, from 19 to, you know, 19 to about 20. Let's just read that. You know, and, you know, he said that the Lord is not a man that he should lie, you know, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said, and shall he not do it? Have he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Now let's read the next verse. Behold, you know, he said, I have received commandment to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Amen. Now when God has blessed you, no one can reverse it. Praise the Lord. Skip to verse 23 of the next verse. I mean, of this same chapter, verse 23. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. You can put your name there. Hallelujah. I often like to say that, look, Israel and Jacob, they don't have exclusivity on the Lord. Everywhere you see the name of Jacob or Israel, you put your name there. If you are a child of God. Hallelujah. You know, so there is no enchantment against Jacob. Put your name there. There is no divination against Israel, you know, and the things that God has said for you, I'm going to read through some of them very quickly. You know, the thoughts that he has towards us, the plans and the purposes that he has for you, the devil cannot disannul. Amen. So the Lord said, and I know that you all know and love this verse in Jeremiah 29 and 11. That says, the thoughts, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So, no matter the voices of evil, and there will be voices of evil, you know, we need to hang on to what God has said. You know, you need to say, well, the Lord already said yes. So, no matter what anybody else says, no, it doesn't really matter. You know, the Lord said here, there was a man, you know, there is a story in Matthew chapter 8, the first two verses. Matthew chapter 8, I want to read the first two verses. And this man, I'm waiting for them to put that up. So, when he came down, there was a lot of multitude that followed him. And verse 2, please. And behold, there was a certain leper that came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Next verse. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. And immediately, as thou word again, his leprosy was cleansed. Well, the story, the lesson I want to bring out of this here is that this man wasn't sure whether, you know, Jesus would want him to be healed. And there's a lot of people that are sick that think it's the will of God for them to remain sick. And they say, well, if God, maybe it's not the will of God for me to be healed. Well, let me tell you something right away. I mean, let's just dismiss that nonsense and that myth. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, it is the devil that comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life. And Jesus always wants you to be healed. This man said, well, if it is your will, I know you can heal me. But maybe it's not your will. You know, see, this is the thing. You know, when we are praying for the Lord to heal us or whatever else, you know, let me just dwell on the healing thing for a minute. You know, when you're praying for healing, you know, sometimes there is a doubt whether it is really God's will. Is it really God's will that I should be healed? Or maybe it's my cross for me to bear, you know, this thing, you know, and just go through life like that. Well, the Bible says, in the book of 1 John chapter 3, we are told in verses 8 and 9, there's a reason why the devil, I mean, Jesus came into this world, you know. Say, for this purpose, the last half of verse 8, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And did he do it?
Yes.
Did he do it?
Yes.
Well, maybe he didn't do it.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
you know, is sickness and disease, are those things part of the works of the devil? Are they?
Yes.
And did the Lord destroy the works of the devil?
Yes.
Praise God. You know, that's a simple argument. The Lord did destroy the works of the devil. Sin, sickness, all these things, they're all part of it. Now, listen to some of these scriptures that I want to give you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, you know, I'm dealing now quickly on whether it is God's will to give you these things. You know, is it God's will to say yes or no? Now, fear not, little flock, Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure. Not just his pleasure, but his very good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And whatever comes with that kingdom, it's the Father's good pleasure to give it to you. You know, so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Some people think of God as this, you know, this scary person somewhere. That you better be careful how you tread in front of him. Well, that's true, but you are also his child. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's if you are. If you are a child of God, you are a child of God. You know, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what everybody, look, if you are a child of the, say, the President of the United States, for instance, that may be secret, I mean, that may be the secrets, I mean, service detail that's around him and so forth. Maybe they keep everybody out, but they can't keep that child out. Hallelujah. That child can go any place they want, you know, in the White House. Can go to any part they want, you know, and Secret Service can't do anything. They can follow him or her around, make sure he's safe. But they can't tell him not to go there or there. Go anywhere, you know, and so forth. You know, if truly we believe that it is our Father's good pleasure to give us a kingdom, then when we ask, we should believe that we receive. Amen.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 7 verse 11, Jesus said, look, those of us, you know, who naturally, was starting to talk to people, naturally you have this evil nature inside of you. You know how to give good gifts to your children. I mean, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them good things to those people that ask him. Amen?
Amen.
If we, you know how to give good things to our children. Our Heavenly Father knows how to give even better things to us. Now let's go back and read, you know, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Let's read that. The same chapter of Matthew 7. Verse 7. Go back to verse 7. Verse 7 first. And it shall, you know, he said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, these things are very simple. I mean, Jesus never used great big words anytime he preached. Some people like to be mysterious and use great big thunderous words when they preach. Jesus never did that. He always used simple words that everybody can understand. He talked about bread, corn, stone, you know, house, rain, seed, you know, sower. You know, just talking about simple things, but powerful messages. And he's saying here, he gave you a simple thing. Ask. Anybody know how to spell ask? Anybody? How many little kids here? How do you spell ask? How do we spell ask? A-S-K. It's very simple. But it's even that very word ask is prophetic in itself. It's like an acronym that redefines itself. Because A is for ask, S is for seek, and K is for knock. So when you say ask, and Jesus said it for us, say ask, and it shall be given you. Said he broke it down. He took the A, he took the S, and he took the K. That's how he spell ask. But here he says, look, for everyone that asketh, that's the A, receive it. And everyone that seeketh, that's the S, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Hallelujah. So remember that. It's very simple. A lot of acronyms. But, you know, everyone. No. How many is everyone? Some of the people that ask, receive. Some of the people that seek, find. Is that what he says? Hello? It looks like I'm losing you here. To only a few of those that knock shall the door be opened. Is that what he says? For everyone, ask and receive it. And to him that seeketh, find it. He that seeketh, find. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, let me tell you something about the Lord. This lesson that I'm about to expose here, some of you may have heard it before. It's in James chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, every good gift and perfect gift comes from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. We all know that. Does everybody know that? Everybody agrees that every good gift comes from God? But listen to how he described God. This is where I'm going with this, in this verse. With whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What's variableness? That's yo-yo. That's what I try to call that. God is not a yo-yo God. One day he says yes, the other day he says no. One day he's up, the other day he's down. He is not a yo-yo God, folks. There is no variableness with him. What about shadow of turning? Well, God has no mood swings. Hallelujah. One day when God is feeling good, you say, well, I'm feeling these people today. Let me answer their prayers. The next day, say, nah, I'm not feeling it. I'm not answering anybody's prayers. I'm not feeling them today. I'm not answering. Does he do that? There is no shadow of turning. He has no mood swings. You know, the Bible says that, look, you know, Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13 and 8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Hallelujah. He's the changeless God. Now, he's a changer, but he himself doesn't change. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's read verses 19 and 20, real quickly. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yo-yo. Was not yea and nay. Maybe one day he was yea, and the next day he was no. No, he was not yea and nay. But in him was yea. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. Hallelujah. That's what we are bringing to you today. It's simple, but it's real. You know, and if you can just, you know, throw yourself into what he's saying here. It's not maybe, it's not perhaps. Some people say, even say, well, you know, God, you know, changed his mind. Maybe it's not time. Maybe this and that. Jesus said, I will. The man said, I know if you will, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I will. And for every one of you that is sick of whatever sickness or disease, Jesus says, I want you to be well. Amen. I will. I know. I wish above all things, 3 John and verse 2, that you prosper and be in health. That's 3 John and verse 2. That even as your soul prospers, I want you to be in health. Praise the Lord. Let's read a few more things that Jesus, to confirm that he really meant what he was saying. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. The priceless possession that God had. I mean, the greatest, I don't want to say thing, but the greatest, whatever was in his life, the greatest treasure that he had was his son. And right here, this verse says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not then he freely also give us all these things? Praise the Lord. I mean, if he can give up his son, you know, then he can also give you. And Jesus says to you, yes. But here is the thing. I often tell people, when you ask something from the Lord, you know, be specific. Don't just ask the Lord to bless you. What does that mean? You're already blessed. Bible says he has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, Jesus told a lesson. And he said, look, in the same place where I was talking about fathers giving good gifts, said, how many of you being fathers, if your son were to come and ask bread, will you give him a stone? When he asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Those of you who are fathers, or even mothers for that matter. If your son were to ask you for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If, what about if he asked you for fish? Would you give him a snake instead? No. Then Jesus said, look, if you being evil in nature, by your nature, you know how to give good deeds, how much more are your heavenly Father? But here's the thing, though. Let me challenge us on this. If the son had asked the father to give him something, then the father could have given him a stone. Hello? Am I correct? Is a stone something? So if you go to God and say, give me something, maybe he can give you a stone. You know, if you go to your father and say, give me something, he can give you a stone. But if you say, give me bread, he's not going to give you stone. Because you were specific. A lot of people are too vague in their prayers. Lord, bless me. What does that even mean? You know. Praise God. What things soever you desire, when you pray, be specific. You know, this is what Jesus taught. I mean, he taught us these simple things, but, you know, we just miss it. But we're looking for something great and big. You know, when the Lord, every time the Lord does some simple thing, you know, people miss it. It's like Naaman, you know, who was the chief of staff of the Syrians or whatever, came to Elisha, the prophet, you know, after somebody had told the king in Syria that, look, if this man were in Israel, you know, the prophet would heal him. And so he went to the place, and the man of God didn't even come out. Sent his servant to him and said, you know, go and wash over here in Jordan 7 times and you'll come out clean. And the man was filled. How dare you tell me to go and wash in Jordan? Are there not rivers, you know, in Samaria and all these places that are better than all these things? I mean, I thought the man would come out here, jump up and down, call upon his name of the Lord, scream some thing, strike the leper, do some great thing, you know. And the servants had to appeal to him. He said, "Master, go down now. If he had asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you do it? And he has told you to do something simple. Why do you despise it? What do you have to lose?" Praise the Lord. That's a great lesson for us. Many of us are always looking for something big. And when the Lord is just telling you something simple, you just miss it. You are looking for something big. You know, or you are focused on something else. You know, you are thinking that this is the way that God is going to do it. I love that story and I shared it many times. You know, and I think it goes with this lesson too in John chapter 5. You know, and the man and all the people that were there, a great number of impotent folk, they were there waiting for the mercy of the Lord, because the mercy of the Lord sent them something. Once in a blue moon, once in a season, there was an angel that came by, stirred the pool, and whosoever then first stepped into the pool. You can't do it too soon, and you can't do it too late. You got to get it just right. So everybody calm down, waiting for the stirring of the pool. And where it happened, they knew around the time, but nobody knew exactly when. So they calmed down. And when it happened, if you happen to be the first, it can't be the second, but if you happen to be the first that stepped into the water after that stirring of the pool, you were healed of whatever sickness you had. And so this man also came. And he was lame, just like many people were lame. But some of the other people that were lame, they had somebody to help them. You know, throw them in water or whatever. This man had no help. And nobody. And so, and every time he tried to get in there, somebody got in ahead of him. Now, well, that's like many people here today. You get so close, but somebody else steps in and gets your blessing. You know. And he said, "Well, I don't have anyone to help me." And that's again like many people. They always say, "I don't have somebody to help me." You don't need anybody to help you. The Lord is your helper. Amen. You know, vain is the help of man. I don't have anybody to help me. You know, but more importantly, when Jesus came to the man and said, now this time around, Jesus is asking the question. The other time around, somebody was asking me, "I know, if it is your will, you can heal me. Is it your will to heal me?" This time around, Jesus is asking the question. And Jesus comes there. And remember, there were a great multitude of important folk. Jesus went to only one of them. There was a lot of them there. He went to this man. There was something about this man, you know, that drew the Lord. And the Lord says to him, "Hey, how you doing?" And Jesus said, "Well, would you like to be made whole?" Can you imagine that question? This man is here. He's coming season after season. I don't know if it was a year apart, but whatever the season was, season after season, he's coming and he cannot get in there fast enough. And so Jesus said to him, "Would you like to be made whole?" And the man looks at Jesus and says, "What kind of question is that? We are all camping out here waiting for the moving of the water. Of course I want to be made whole. But I care because somebody keeps getting in ahead of me." Hallelujah. And Jesus said, look, and this is the thing to us too. Jesus already provided a yes for you. Hello? Yeah. But you are looking in the wrong places. Jesus was already there, and this man is looking somewhere else, because that's how God did it before. So that's how God was doing again. But that's putting God in a box. Hello? You can't put God. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You can't put God in a box. You can't tell God that the only way that He's going to heal you is you must do this and you must do that. You must be, water must move, the air must come down, I must be the first to step in. Well, that was then. But today, Jesus said, forget water. And forget the angel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I always love to say that when I tell that story. Forget the water and forget the angel. I'm right here. Amen. Give the Lord a hand for that. Hallelujah. Forget the angel. Forget the water. Forget how I did it before. How I did it before. Somebody gave testimony. Forget that. I'm right here. Right now. I say yes. Hallelujah. You know, and somebody say, well, unless you do this, yeah. Look, listen, and we love, and I thank God for medical science. You know, and they do a tremendous job helping us. And our body is broken and things are not going well and so forth. And some of them are even called, instead of MDs, they are called MOs. They look out for your complete wellness. They do all they can. But they still can't do it like the Lord. Hallelujah. Ain't nobody do me like the Lord. There ain't anybody that can do you like the Lord. You know, so. But the thing is this. We are always all focused on how we think God is going to do it. He's got to send the angel. But they need a medical doctor. You got to go through surgery. But you need that. You got to do this and that. Well, I'm making light of that. But I'm telling you something. God doesn't need any of those things. God doesn't need an angel. God doesn't need a pool. God doesn't need anything else. Jesus is right here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It was the mercy of God because the people couldn't really believe anything. So, you know, God, once in a while, just send them the mercy of God. Mercy drops. That's all it was. But Jesus is right here. Jesus already says yes to you. Don't be looking here and there. Why not tell anybody not to do what you need to do? You do what you need to do. You know, but the one who put this body together. Hallelujah. I tell you what, he knows how to fix it too when it's broken. He knows how to help you pick up the pieces when they are shattered. He can do it too. Praise the Lord. Now, of the song, of the things which we have spoken, this is the summary. Just a short exhortation today. The summary is that God wants you to be blessed. And he already said yes. And so it doesn't matter what circumstances around you say no. Remember, Jesus says yes. Amen. And you got to drown out all those voices. And there are many voices. There are all kinds of voices, the Bible says, and that there's none of them that is actually without significance. You know, every voice means something. And there are some subtle voices. You know, there are, of course, the loud voices, you know, the voice of unbelief, you know, the voice of fear. Those are loud voices. You know, the voice that says, well, that can't happen. Those are loud voices. But the ones that are more subtle, the more subtle voices are like the voice of reason. The voice of reason is so subtle. It just creeps in there and reasons until you reason out your faith. Faith and reason are not in the same realm, folks. The realm in which faith operates, it doesn't matter. Reason defies, faith defies logic. Hello? Defies logic. By faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. By faith, we understand tremendous things that God can call things out of nothing, and you can do the same. Yeah, praise God. If you have some real faith, you know, my goodness, there is no stopping you. But voice of reason creeping there. I'm getting old. I can't have pleasure anymore. Yes, God gave us this promise, but look, I'm getting old. Why don't you go into my lady over here and try to organize that little child there? Well, that's a voice of reason. You know, God already promised, and you try to reason it out. Well, you know, I really can't. You know, I mean, yeah, I know what God said, but, you know, I've been waiting. Somebody during the week asked me a question. They said, well, how do I know when, you know, if I'm doing all the right things, you know, and the heavens are still brass. I said, well, you know, how do you know that the heavens are really brass? Maybe you need to look again. If you look again, maybe you'll see a little cloud. Hallelujah. Amen. Elijah said, well, go check it out. The man said, nothing is happening. Elijah said, check it out anyway. So he went and checked it out. And he said, well, I see nothing. Man put down his head and prayed some more. Go check it out again. The Lord already said it's coming. You know, so people do all the right things. This lady asked me, we've done all the right things, but how do I know? And I said, well, how do you know that the heavens are brass? Maybe the cloud is still forming. Maybe God is still cooking something in the kitchen. And he's not quite ready to serve him just yet. Amen. God is always cooking something, folks. I love to say it that way because my wife is always cooking something. You come into my house, something's always cooking. Something always smells good. You know, God, but she's not ready quite yet to serve it when she's still cooking it. You know, so you got to wait for her to finish cooking it and then she'll serve it. Hallelujah. God is cooking something for you. Amen. And so after about 7 times, the man went back and said, ah, I see something, but you know, I thought you said there's coming a sound of abundance of rain. But I don't know. All I see here is something that it does look like a cloud is forming, but it's no bigger than the size of a man's hand. Like I said, that's it. Hallelujah. That's it. That's all I need right there. Glory to God. That's all I need. You know, it may start lead to, but, you know, something tremendous is coming. He already said yes. He already said the rain is coming. It doesn't matter whether somebody said there's no rain. He said it is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus, to top it up, he said, look, the kingdom of God in Mark chapter 4, it's like if a man should cast seed into the ground, you know, and then go to sleep. And he should wake up, you know, and he see that this thing is growing. He doesn't know how, because the earth will bring forth seed after itself. Except but first, see, this is the way it happens. That full corn doesn't come out first. First, that bleed. And it looks just like rats. If you are not careful, when I was growing up, we had this thing called Bahama grass in my country. And when you plant the corn and the maize, and when it's growing, it looks just like that Bahama grass. And if you are too impatient, you just plug it up. But it's a first the blade, and then after that, the corn, and then after that, the ear, then after that, the full corn in the ear. But it might take some time. But he already said, from Genesis chapter 1, this is what God said. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, this was the first pronunciation. You can read between verses 26 to 28. He said, look, let us make man our image after our likeness and so forth. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, all these things, and so on. And so, let's read verses 27 and 28. This was God's intention. And so God, he did it. Created a man. And then he said to the man in verse 28, this was what he said. God blessed them. See, that's why you don't need to, you don't need to be praying that God already blessed you. He already blessed you. God blessed them, and he said unto them, be fruitful. Multiply. So that's already there. That's a promise that God already gave. And not only that, you know, the rest of the chapter, you know, even chapter 2, another place, chapter 1, chapter 2, all of these things. God blessed the seed. And he said, let every seed bring forth after its kind. You put it out there. It's already done. You know, so when you put that seed in the ground, it's going to bring forth of itself. Now, also, you know, if you know that God already blessed you, and He gave you to be fruitful, He gave you to multiply, He gave you to have dominion. You know, and that's the way it should be. And don't let anything turn that around. Jesus says to you, yes. Don't let even the day, you know, some people wake up, you know, feeling grouchy in the morning, and they just feel heavy. I mean, they were happy yesterday, but for some reason, yeah, just wake up heavy in the morning. Why? When the Lord already told you that you have that power. Jesus already said yes to a beautiful day. Why are you going to let something make you feel like it's going to be a no? You know, Jesus said in Psalm 110 and verse 3, you know, that people will understand when you are doing things in their lives. They will understand and they will be willing. And they can command the beauties of holiness in the womb of the morning. It will bring forth even the dew of youth. They can replenish their youth because God already said it. So, what you do is command, because the Lord already spoke. Now remember, who is he that commanded? I mean, saith anything and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Lamentation 3 and verse 37. You can do it if the Lord hasn't commanded it. But when the Lord has commanded it, you know, then you can speak the same. And Jesus says for you, yes. Hallelujah. I want us to stand up to our feet at this point. That's it today. Jesus says yes. Now, when Jesus read this verse again with me, who is he that said and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? So, if the Lord has not said no, and somebody else says no to you, it can be. You know, look, if somebody says you can't do that, my response is always, say so. Who says I can't do that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. You say, well, that has never happened before. Says who? Maybe you didn't know. But even if it hasn't happened, maybe I'll be a trailblazer. Amen. That's right. You know, if you have faith, nothing shall be possible to you. All things shall be possible to you if you have faith. Remember, Jesus says yes. No circumstances can say no. They can say no, but their no is null and void. Hallelujah. Null and void. Now I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to do a prayer line because we want to finish this quickly and go on to the next part of the service. But I'm going to pray for you. But before I do, I'm going to say this. While you are standing, I'm going to tell you this, and this is going to be my element of prayer today. Do you know that I believe the state of Arizona has it, some other states may have it, you know, when you take out a contract and it is contrary to the law of the land, there is an underlining premise that says void where prohibited by law. Amen. Hello. Void where prohibited by law. So the devil can try to take out an enchantment against you. The devil can try to take out a divination against you. He can try to do all of these things, try to sign a contract against you. Because, you know, the Bible says your agreement with hell shall be disannulled. And your contract with death shall not stand. Because it is void where prohibited by law. You can sign it all you want, but it is void if it is contrary to the law. Now, there is a law of liberty for the sons of God. Amen. God showed me that one time. I saw the devil took out a contract. I was trying to write some names. And I was looking. But I wasn't seeing anything. And I was looking. What? I can't. And I heard the voice that said, void where prohibited by law. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift up your hands. That's my prayer for you. The contract of sickness and disease, the contract of death, the contract of lack of progress, all the negative contracts that the devil took out against you, I say, void! we are prohibited by law. The law of liberty for the sons of God has set you free. Jesus says yes. Nobody else can say no. They can say no if they want, but it is God. Because the Lord has not commanded. What the Lord has commanded for you is blessing. What the Lord has commanded for you, I know my thoughts towards you, they are thoughts of peace, thoughts of good. Hallelujah. You are not subject to anyone's dreams or visions or prophecies when they are contrary. They can keep it to themselves. I don't care if anybody prophesies anything, it doesn't bother me at all. If God wants to talk to me, I'm his child, he can talk to me, amen. God doesn't need to tell you something, come and tell me. I can hear it from God. Amen. And what I've heard from God is see no evil and hear no evil. Hallelujah.
I will not see evil. Neither will I hear evil.
But I will see good all the days of my life. If that should give you all a hand clap here this morning, praise God. Now, lift up your hands and I'm going to pray for you. I take 2 minutes and pray for you. Lord Jesus, look at the hands that are raised up in here. And the Lord says to you, yes. Yes to your prayers. Yes to your needs. Yes to your healing. Yes to your advancement. Yes to every good thing that God has for you. The devil is the one that wants you to think that God is a yo-yo, up and down God. He said yes to you yesterday. That last time that he healed you, but this time around, it's not his will. This is your cross that you have to bear. This is your cross that you have to carry. That is a no. Jesus says yes. Hallelujah. And everything that the devil is trying to put in front of you as a barricade, as a barrier, and so forth, Jesus says yes.
By my God, I run through troops. By my God, I leap over walls.
Hallelujah. Nothing is going to stop me. I'm going on. Amen. Father, Lord, thank you for already blessing your children. Teach us, Lord, how to take what is already ours. Hallelujah. That's what the father said to the elder son in the prodigal son story. He said, all that I have is yours. But you didn't take anything. That's why you got nothing. Praise God.
Learn to take
what God has already given you.
And learn to receive when you pray. All things whatsoever you shall desire.
Hallelujah. Mark 11, 24. When you pray, believe, and you shall receive. Faith is now. At the time that you pray, when you pray, not tomorrow, but at the time you pray is when you believe. It may happen later on. That's okay. But at the time you pray, what things soever. Now, what are you believing God for? Help me in 1 minute here. Don't tell me. Zero in on it yourself and tell the Lord. You know, don't be vague about it. Just zero in whatever you are believing God for today and make a note of today. May the 7th, 2023. I stood in prayer at GMI Church. I believe the Lord and see what the Lord has done. That which I've been waiting for has come to pass.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Now, Lord, let it be so to everyone that believeth. You know, Jesus said, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Numbers 14, I believe, verse 28 or so. As you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Now speak it in the ears of the Lord. And let him do it unto you in Jesus' name.
Somebody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen and amen. You may be seated.